right, let's take it from the top again.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Deontay, you are back.
I'm back.
Yay.
Yay.
I was worried you'd forgotten that we were going to record this today.
I put it on my calendar, and if it's on my calendar, it happens.
Good. I'm so happy. Thank you for that. You reminded me a second ago that there is something that we definitely need to talk about.
Yes. Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. What about Valentine's Day?
You went off the edge and agreed to take your significant other's mother to go see 50 Shades of blah, 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 blah.
50 Shades Darker.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we did go. I have to admit that before the movie even started, I was convinced that she was going to stand me up. It was time. It was, I think it was like a 120 movie, and it was 120, and she's still not there. And so I thought that I had gotten stood up by my girlfriend's mom.
That would be bad.
She showed up right when I was about to go off the edge. So she gets there. I already had the tickets in my hand because I went ahead and purchased them for both of us.
I like that.
I figured that was the nice thing to do.
I like it.
So she shows up and we get in line for popcorn.
Are you first or is she first?
We're together.
Okay.
We're standing side by side and she orders a large popcorn.
Okay.
So we're going to share the popcorn.
Did she ask you if you wanted to share or she just assumed?
I think it was just an assumption.
Okay.
Okay. Let me just preface this by saying I've never chickened out on a bit until this occasion.
No.
I've been able to do everything that was ever expected of me except for this one time. I completely froze.
No
I
way.
I couldn't do anything.
Shannon.
You know what? There was never a time when her arm was actually on the armrest for me to have stroked it or done the pinky rub or anything like that. So
right.
There was never really a great opportunity for anything to happen. There was a couple of scenes where I just covered my entire face up. I couldn't believe that I was sitting there in the company that I was in watching this happen.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, your bit part would have absolutely been awkward, but mm-hmm. How awkward is it? I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any of the movies, so I don't know how
there's, let me tell you this,
graphic.
There's one part of the movie where Christian Grey wants for Anastasia to be ready to go mm-hmm. when they finish with his party that his parents are throwing for okay. him, for his birthday, I think. And so he asks her to do something very specific. I can't even get into the details of it, but it involves something. I didn't know what it was. He says, here, wear these. And I turned around and I asked, what are those? Thank God she didn't know either, because I think that would have been a very awkward conversation to have.
Well, Shannon, this part you put here.
And I meant to Google it because I still don't know what they were or where they went, but it's a very small area that they could have gone into. So
oh,
I guess I should assume what's going on. So anyway, we made it through the movie. I think I covered my entire face up maybe three times. And then we sat there for a few minutes afterwards and she wanted to discuss the movie. And all that I could think about was talking about how much I liked it more than the first one, which
okay.
I did, and how I got invested in the characters. That's all I could think to talk about was like, I really liked Christian Grey this time. He was so sweet and endearing. I couldn't talk about the actual plot the movie.
I think that's the safe move. I mean, how do you get into, well, I really thought that one part was hot.
That was sexy. And so we walk out together and we're in the parking lot and her car is parked further out than mine. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do.
Did you
it
walk her to her
like
car?
I didn't. Yeah. Do I walk her to her car? Do I open the door for her once she gets to her car? What do I do? And so I got super awkward and I was passing my car a little bit and then I was like, this is dumb. So I said, okay, well, there's my car. So bye. And then I reached out for the one-arm hug.
Okay.
Because I didn't feel good about a two-arm hug at that point. And I sat in my car and I waited until she drove off. So I watched her drive away like a creeper. But I felt okay about it. And we've seen each other since. And there's no discussion of it. Thank goodness. Because I don't know where it could possibly go. I thought about telling her that I wanted to do the bit mm-hmm. just to see what her reaction would be.
Oh.
But even with that, I chickened out. I completely chickened out, and I don't know why.
I can't believe this.
I'm not
You're
that person.
You're never that person.
I know. So I don't know what it was. I don't know if I didn't want to upset somebody that actually plays a role in my life. I didn't want things to get creepy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you get into that. And I certainly don't know how you get out of it.
So I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm a wuss when it comes to that one particular situation.
Womp, womp.
I know. I'm still trying to talk myself into somehow making up for it.
I say the listeners come up with a new bit for you.
That's fine. If you guys want to come up with a new bit idea, you are more than welcome to. We have our Facebook page.
Yep.
It is at The Stuff Podcast. I guess with my huge failure of the bit, we can talk about what everybody's been talking about this past week. And that is the huge mess up that happened at the Oscars.
That was big. So big. And there were so many people that completely missed it. Because the Oscars ran like another 30. It was already a 3-hour show. Mm-hmm. And it ran like 30 or 40 minutes over time.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was forever.
I went to bed.
So that's what happened to a lot of people. They heard La La Land and they turned the TV off. And so a lot of people missed it, the big mix up.
Did you watch it?
I did.
And what were you thinking?
I was so like thrown off. And of course, I'm on social media. So I run to Twitter because that's where everything happens immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows. It took about 5 to 10 minutes before, because everybody, you know, instantly starts speculating. And the first thing they're saying is, oh, it's a Steve Harvey moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, everybody's kind of making commentary like that, but nobody knows exactly what happened.
Right.
So then when the
Academy guy?
Yeah. Academy guy comes. Well, I went back and watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the La La Land people are doing their speeches. And then you see one of them, it must have been happening off camera because one of the producers looks at the other producer and then they're both kind of looking and they both look away. And then you see the show producers come and mm-hmm. the guy's got his headset on and they're grabbing envelopes. And mm-hmm. then that's when the La La Land guy's like, wait, there's been a mistake.
Awful.
Crazy.
Can you imagine being part of the cast of La La Land and having to walk off the stage? That must have been the longest walk of shame ever.
I know.
And it's nothing that they did. That's the worst part.
Yep.
I can't imagine what it's like at Oscar headquarters today.
Oh, man.
I bet heads are rolling.
Oh, yeah. But the La La Land people were so gracious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even afterward, I watched, they do like a post show that's after the news.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring in the winners and
I
they're having
Emma
all the
Stone.
Conversations. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was so gracious about the movie. And she was like, Moonlight was so great. And it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Was
and
she being gracious or was she being sarcastic? Because I kind of picked up on a sarcastic tone.
No, I thought she was being gracious. And she was like, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but
right.
I had my envelope.
Well, they did two of them.
Right. But they interviewed someone who said it said on the envelope
uh-huh.
that, you know, nominee for motion picture and that the card was wrong. But here's my issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in this fancy font and it's got to be engraved. Even the envelopes, they're red, but you can barely see the label because it's embossed in gold.
Yeah, somebody posted a screenshot that they took of the envelope and it did me no good because I couldn't read it.
Exactly.
It sucks that all that hard work and all the stress that Jimmy Kimmel must have had going into that night is completely overshadowed. And now the 2017 Oscars are going to be remembered for being that show that
the
epically
biggest screw up ever.
Messed up. Yeah. And so that got me to thinking about what we're going to be remembered for. And I started thinking about celebrities that, you know, like obviously Steve Harvey, everybody
right.
still remembers his big mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Charlie Sheen, who could have been remembered as one of the most successful TV sitcom actors of all time. But then he went through the whole Tiger Blood winning phase. So that's going to overshadow everything good that he did.
Yep, that's true.
So it only takes one big epic mess up moment
To blow it all.
To become what you're going to be remembered for.
I think it's harder for me because I have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want people to remember, hopefully remember, that I was a good mom.
Yeah.
That I was a good wife. You know, that I took good care of my family, that I cared about them, that I loved them, and I was a good friend. But as far as accomplishing something, you know, like career-wise, I mean, I guess I have a career. I work, but I do a lot of freelance stuff.
Right.
Maybe I hope people thought I was a really good writer.
I would think that about you, for sure.
But I haven't published a book, so.
Doesn't matter. You're all over the internet.
But if I publish a book, then people will go, oh, yeah, remember she wrote that book?
This whole thought process just kind of kept, it was like a domino effect of where my life is headed and where it's going and when I'm gone. I know that's so morbid.
It is kind of morbid.
And it's not a good thing to talk about. When I die, this is what I want. But I got to thinking about it. And here's, for the record, this is what I want when I die. Okay?
Okay. I'm listening.
Let it be known that I do not want a funeral.
Okay.
I just want a Facebook tribute page. And Facebook I want tribute. Somebody to spend at least $5 promoting that page so that it gets a little bit extra reach.
I will do that for you, Shannon.
To make sure that people know I'm dead, what happened, and to talk good about me. I would hope they would say good things.
I will do that.
Okay, thank
for you. And I'm going to take it a step further.
Okay.
I am going to go back through the Kid Craddock archives and pull all of your bits and post it on your Facebook page.
That's
so people will, you'll be remembered forever.
I love that. Thank you.
That'd be awesome, huh?
Thank you. Yeah. And I was thinking about the last funeral that I went to, and it was very awkward. It was very awkward. We sat there and listened to 5-minute songs, and it was kind of like the priest was a DJ, and he said, "I hope you enjoy this next song." And then he sat down, and we all sat there, and there were maybe 4 or 5 songs that played throughout the course of the funeral, and it was so awkward.
Was it in a church?
Yeah, it was.
And they weren't like church songs?
No, it was the typical Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which I absolutely do not want played at my funeral.
Okay.
I love the song. It holds too special of a place in my heart regarding other people to have that play at mine.
Okay.
I don't want, I Can Only Imagine. I don't want Gone Too Soon. I don't want anything mushy. So here's what I was thinking I would do.
Okay.
I would love to have my favorite songs of all time done as a montage of some sort and posted on my tribute Facebook page.
So I need to find a DJ.
But no, you don't. Because here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to rap them myself because most of my favorite songs are rap songs.
Okay.
Dirty rap songs. I'm going to do like little karaoke songs. So you can hear my music montage in my voice and remember me forever.
I love it.
Isn't it great?
It's totally greatness.
And then when I die.
There's more.
There's so much more. I want to be cremated.
Okay.
And I want to be given to a member of Kelly Raspberry's family.
Just anyone?
At least part of me.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to put it on Emma Kelly because she's so young.
Right.
And what's she going to do with me? But maybe Aunt Velma.
Oh, yeah.
Or even Tommy Jean. I would accept Kelly's best friend since fifth grade.
Yeah, I think Tommy
and
Jean would
why.
Be a good one.
When I die, I want to be remembered as Kelly Raspberry's biggest fan.
That is a good title.
That's all that I want in my life.
That is, I'm going to put it on your Facebook page.
Thank you. We should probably go ahead and start on this memorial Facebook page and just keep it private until
that's
I actually
right.
do die.
Until it's ready to go.
You never know when that's going to happen. But I was thinking about it, and I got into this job because I love the show.
Right.
But I was truly obsessed with, to an extent, Kelly Raspberry. She's my reason for being.
That frightens me a little.
It's not frightening at all. I love her so much.
I know that you do.
And this is not a suck up bit or anything like that. I truly worship the ground that this woman walks on. And so I have composed a list. Of all the reasons, or some of the reasons, there's never going to be enough time and space in this universe for me to tell you all the reasons why I love Kelly Raspberry, but I wrote down a few of them.
Okay, a few will do.
Number one, she's unapologetically passionate about things, whether it's the Dollar Tree or her love for the Backstreet Boys and Howie D. It doesn't matter if everybody else in the world disagrees with her. She's not going to back down and say, no, I was wrong.
That's true. And that's a good quality to have. I think people need a passion, even if it's something that other people think is stupid or unimportant. I think everybody needs a passion.
And she has that.
She does.
She has a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I truly love that about her. Number two, she is the most talented person I have ever experienced. She's funny. She sings good. She did a great job on that Hallmark movie that she made with Leanne Rimes. She writes good. Her English is good. Like, I just respect so many things because she oozes talent.
I will second that. And I have often told her that. And I think she doesn't believe me when I say it. But she is hands down the most talented woman in radio.
I know, right?
She's amazing.
I hear all those award shows with other people, like Ellen Kay, for example, as the MC lady.
Yeah.
And I just think to myself, Kelly would be so much better at this.
I know.
I want to submit her.
Yeah, I've listened to other radio shows like across the country, and I'm like, yeah, this girl sucks.
Nobody compares.
No, they really don't.
Number three, she's loyal to a fault.
That's true.
Yeah, she can keep secrets really well.
She's the best secret keeper. I know if I tell Kelly something and I say, don't tell anybody, she's not going to tell anybody. She's not going to tell Alan. She's not going to tell her dog.
I know.
She is not going to tell a soul.
She's so good at that. I'm so glad you agree with my list so far. You're not going to agree with this one, though.
Okay.
Or maybe you won't understand it. But I love Kelly Raspberry because one time she offered to let me see her boobs. We had to share a hotel room when we were having a snow day or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she had gone down to the lobby and had gotten her drink on a little bit. And she came back up. I don't know how the conversation happened, but she was talking about the new boobs that she had just gotten put in.
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, want to see them?
But so the question is, did you take her up
Heck
on it?
No. No. I didn't want to see the Kelly Raspberry's boobs.
Not even in a bra?
She's so pure. And ivory and an innocent, ivory. And she probably smells like pomegranate and mango mixed together. That's how I think she smells in my head. I think this is a little creepy.
It's a little creepy.
Maybe a little bit.
A little.
But I love her so much. So,
do you have a number five? Because we have to end on a, you
oh,
know,
do we?
Nobody has a top
on a prime
four
number?
List.
I do.
Prime,
I do.
Yeah, prime number.
Yeah. It's so ooey gooey. She has inspired me to be a better person in so many ways. She makes me see my complete lack of talent in all things, but I'm okay with it because I get to work every day with the woman that I admire the most in the world, Kelly Raspberry. And I'm hoping that she's going to ask me to be part of her wedding party.
I think
Can you make that happen?
I think you may be out of luck on that.
Oh, you've been planning. Are you doing the whole thing for her?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
Where it goes.
Okay.
But I am helping her.
Okay. Well, good job on that. And so now that we have established everything that I want for when I die, I guess you can go ahead and get on that.
Yeah.
Since tomorrow is not promised to us, right?
That is very true.
That's what then we already talked about all the reasons God's really pissed at me. So you never know what's going to happen on my way home.
There's a good chance.
Our Facebook page is at The Stuff Podcast, and then I'm going to link the Twitter and the email and all that stuff, too. So
awesome.
Yay. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it, and thank you for showing up, Deontay.
I would never let you down, Shannon.
I love you so much.
I love you, too.
All right, bye.
Bye. Hasta la vista, baby.